I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
Silence means so much to me. It's more than just wearing the dress. It's about hopefully inspiring the next generation.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. We're growing and we're looking forward to the upcoming season.
What do you remember most about that first cap?
The first cap, God, very little. That's a long time ago, very little.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at the Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.
The Netball Show with Sasha Shipley and Natalie Morris.
Hello and welcome to The Netball Show with Mizuno. I'm Sasha Shipway.
And I'm Natalie Morris.
And we're going to be talking about the Netball World Cup. Of course, there's not really a lot else to discuss. The Netball World Cup has just happened and it's been absolutely huge. Nat, what did you make of it?
Well, it was everything I hoped it was going to be and more, essentially. It was just an absolute, overwhelmingly brilliant 10 days, and I've never been more hyped for a sporting competition in my whole life. And just to have it on home soil just was that extra something special. And we all had high expectations for the Roses, obviously, and for the entire competition. And I think despite not getting the colour medal that we wanted, the competition itself more than delivered in terms of the quality of the games, the level of the sport for spectators, and just the vibe. Like, we were both in Liverpool, we felt it, like the crowds were out there for it. And then of course everyone was watching at home and on Sky and on the BBC for them to kind of show every game like they did. To have it all made so accessible was such a huge deal, and I think it's reached people who you would never think that netball would reach, and that's a huge deal. What did you make of it, particularly while you're in Liverpool?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, you would be walking through the streets through a shopping centre and you'd see fans decked out in red with, the flag, St George's flag, painted on their faces. Mm. And I don't think I've ever been at an event and been like, it's often football, isn't it, when you see that sort of thing and I'm like, yeah. But I felt really proud because it was netball and it was the first time that I think I've ever, that I've ever been to an event and kind of felt that patriotism. And it was incredible, and it's certainly something that would never have happened 10, 15, 5 years ago. Mm. And I think it just shows how much the sport has developed in the UK. And someone actually said to me, they were like, oh, I think England won gold at the Commonwealth Games a bit too early. You know, they should have won silver then, and there wouldn't have been so much of a hype about them for this tournament. And I was thinking about it and I was like, maybe. And then I thought, actually, do you know what? Everything other than the fact that, you know, they got bronze and they were hoping for gold at this World Cup, everything worked out perfectly, because I think had they have not won gold at the Commonwealth Games last year, there wouldn't have been, or may not have been, such a hype for this World Cup. And I think the fact that there were the huge expectations, yes, it may have added pressure, but it also brought in the crowds, and people were so behind the Roses in a way that I've never seen before. And when I was there interviewing people and asking fans, everyone thought we could do it. There was such belief. Mm. And I really don't think that netball in this country has ever experienced that before.
100%. And you talk about the pride, and that's something that I definitely felt. And you just had to look at the pictures that were shared on Twitter from the fan park, and you just see it was a sea of red and white. And these are people who aren't necessarily the hardcore Heartland netball fans who've been there for 5, 10, 15 years, their whole lives, like so many of us are. These are new people that the sport is reaching, and I think that is the key, and that is the legacy from the Commonwealth Games and what that gold medal has done. And like you say, if we hadn't done that, we wouldn't have had this momentum, we wouldn't have had this media push, we wouldn't have had media from around the world, national newspapers covering it with such diligence, which is what the sport deserves regardless of the results. But that gold medal has just kind of catapulted us to that next level. And I think now that we've shown we can do it, even though, yes, we've taken back to that third place on the podium, it doesn't mean we're not going to climb back up there. And we've shown that we can do it, and it is a possibility. And that's what's exciting. And that's what's going to keep bringing the crowds back, the media back, the sponsorship and the interest. And that's the crucial thing, I think. Obviously, it was almost, I mean, the final was amazing, but it was almost disappointing that it was an Australia-New Zealand final, because it was almost like, oh, same old story. What did you think of that?
I agree. Going into the tournament, when I was predicting who would be in the top four, I mean, firstly, I certainly didn't expect Jamaica to drop out as early as they did. That was a huge shock to me. And kudos to South Africa for playing so outstandingly. And I just think it shows how competitive international netball is. But everyone talked about after the Commonwealth Games about how the world order of netball has changed. So you really just didn't want this same old Australia, New Zealand in the final. But I think even though if you look at it on paper, you think, oh, it's the same, it really wasn't though, because I think we're so used to Australia dominating and perhaps they went in thinking that they would win, but this was huge for New Zealand, and for them to win it was absolutely incredible. And I think that it showed, well, it just shows that Australia, again, they're beatable in tournaments like that. And I mean, it's kind of shocking as well that it was the exact same score, 52-51, that it was in the Commonwealth Games, you know, 16 months earlier, that we had beaten Australia by. So I was really impressed with New Zealand, and I thought they had it right from the beginning. They were just stronger. And in fact, in the press conference after New Zealand beat England, Nolene Tarua, the head coach of the Silver Ferns, was speaking to a journalist next to me, and she said, and he asked her, how are you going to fare against Australia tomorrow in the final? And Nolene had a smug, not smugging, I like Nolene, so I'm not trying to say she's a bad person at all, but she did have a smug smile on her face. And she was like, well, they don't know what we've got. And that was despite the fact that Australia and New Zealand had played against each other in one of the preliminary matches. I think that Nolene had put out all of her players to test them, see what they could do against Australia. And she was just so confident in her squad, and she just left the seven players on. And they were utterly outstanding in that final, and they massively deserved to win. And even though it was Australia and New Zealand won it, and things have changed. And I think that people will still be reeling back in Australia about that result. What did you think?
I completely agree. And it's so interesting that it was the same score that's like really got to sting. Like, the Aussies must be so annoyed at that, to lose two championships like that in that heartbreaking way. Like, obviously it's great TV and it's great for the people in the crowds, but for them, that's got to be a killer. But you absolutely have to hand it to New Zealand for this ridiculous turnaround, because when I first saw them in the preliminary stages, I was like, oh no, because I'd literally written them off. I was like, yeah, well, you know, I was very concerned about Australia, obviously. I was very concerned about Jamaica, because you never know what they're going to bring. I was concerned about the African nations, because they've been creeping up and they had, you know, they've got a lot to give as well. So they were my concerns. I literally barely thought about New Zealand. That's how poor their form had been in the lead up to this competition. So it's almost like they played like the world's best bluff ever and lulled everyone into a false sense of security. We weren't even thinking about them. And then I saw their first couple of games and I was like, oh my God, they've pulled it together when it matters. Like, Nolene has turned on the fire, and they were incredible. And what I loved about their play was it was so strategic and defense heavy. The zoning they put on was just like impenetrable, and I just was watching it, and no one could get through the midcourt when New Zealand were on. It looked like they had more players, and defense absolutely stole the show for them, which I love seeing teams play like that, because yes, we love to see the showy attackers at the other end, but we all know defense is where the glory's at, really.
Well, I know. I mean, honestly, I was watching, okay, Jane Watson literally had, she's just so incredible. I was like, I interviewed her afterwards and I was like, Jane, you ruined my entire day yesterday when you had five interceptions in the opening 2 minutes against England, and then we ended up losing that semi-final, which meant obviously we couldn't play in the gold medal match. And she was like, she was so lovely about it. She's like, oh, sorry, but not sorry. I was like, oh, that's okay. But also, Ekenasio, the shooter who was paired up with Maria Folau for New Zealand, she was, like, I've never even really seen her before. And she was just, I mean, I have seen her, but, you know, she's not really stood out to me. Yeah. And I just thought she was absolutely outstanding. She was so on form. She just didn't let anything go. Her accuracy was outstanding. And she was just on it, just so focused. And whatever Nolene has said to them, you know, can she please bottle it up and sell it? Because we all need some.
I know. It does make you think that, we do now have to step it up another notch. like we already have done. And now this competition just, it almost just reminded us of that kind of, the hierarchy is still there. Yes, it's changing. And yes, the international game is not the same as it was 4 years ago at all. And things are massively leveling out in a really exciting way. But there is still that jump just to get up to that consistent final level. And it's almost an attitude. Because I was talking to some of my netball friends after the final, and I think it was just like, Australia and New Zealand are used to winning. They're used to making it to finals. They have been in every single, almost practically, final of the World Cup since its inception. And we've never been there. So we're not used to doing it. We're not used to the intensity of the competition, how much is demanded of us mentally and physically, and then to have that pressure on us and that expectation. We've never been in this position before. Whereas Australia and New Zealand have been both. They've been the underdogs. They've been the consistently dominant teams. So they just know what is needed, what is necessary to pull that extra gear out when it matters. And that's what I think we were lacking and what we need to find if we're going to really, really be on a par with them, like consistently, not as a one-off, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think I was also speaking to some of the Aussie press after the World Cup, actually, and we were talking about it, and they were like, what are England missing psychologically? And I was like, well, it's a really good question, and there is something there. And I honestly think it's part of our culture as a nation. I think we are so used to just knocking people down and being like, oh, well, they're going to lose, they're not going to do it. Whereas Australia push each other up, and we also saw it with America, like the USA women's football team had confidence. A lot of people were saying it was cockiness, but no, to me it's confidence, and you need that in sport. And that's what Australia and New Zealand have in netball. And I think even though there was that utter belief there from England, and I really felt it when I was speaking to both fans and players and Tracy Neville, there's just something that wasn't there. And I think this year it really felt like, beforehand when we'd won bronze, it was like, yeah, that's great, we've got bronze, we've got a medal. And I think this year bronze was not good enough. Like, I think England have, because they won gold, they've shown that, you know, third place is just not the colour that they want anymore. It's not good enough for England. They can do better. And oh, it's so unfortunate they just let themselves down in that semi-final. And I really, really believe the pressure just got to the girls. And I think they went on and just made so many mistakes, you know. It's just such a shame. But, I mean, what did you make of that semi-final against New Zealand and the fact that, you know, England only came away with bronze at the end of it?
It was definitely a shame. And like you say, we've shown what we're capable of. So it's obviously going to be disappointing that we then don't deliver that every time. But we do have to build up to that, and it's not just because it's happened once doesn't mean it's going to happen again. And like we say, we have to remember that at the Commonwealth Games, we won both the semi-finals and the final by one goal. It's not like they were dominant wins, like they were fantastic and they were amazing, but there's an element of luck and chance and timing involved in both of those wins that we do have to acknowledge and be like, okay, we managed to do it that time, but that's not... It doesn't necessarily reflect the fact that we're able to absolutely always make a final. And I think that's what we now need to push on to do. And like you say, I think it was an attitude thing. I felt quite early on in that semi-final that it wasn't going to happen. And that's because New Zealand just had more fire in them. They walked out there and they knew what they needed to do. And I don't think we believed it enough, and I think it felt too far away very early on, which is a shame. And I think these girls did have it in them to get to that next level, but as we said, it doesn't take away from how incredible the competition has been and how amazing it was to watch, and to just literally be able to immerse yourself in netball like that for a sustained period of time was incredible. Just being, you know, sitting at my desk every day at work, just like secretly watching all the games and just, you know, being a proper nerd about it and looking at all the stats from all the different games and just really being in it. And that's what being a sport fan is about. And netballers don't get to do that on a mass scale very often. We don't get to go on Twitter and everyone's talking about it. We don't get to turn on the news and see it, you know, consistently making headlines. Like, that is a really special thing for us. And even, you know, even at the Commonwealth Games, we didn't have that same level of enthusiasm. And 4 years ago, at the last World Cup, there was nowhere near the same level of excitement. I don't think it would have made the news at all. So to see it change in such a monumental way in just 4 years is astounding. And obviously it leads back to all the work that's gone way before the last 4 years, but in that recent shift has just been huge. And yeah, I'm never going to forget it, and it makes me so excited to see, you know, what's going to happen, what will it be like in South Africa in 4 years time. I think we all want to book our tickets like now, right?
I mean, I'm 100% going to be in Cape Town in 4 years. It's I can't miss it after that, because it was amazing. Yeah. Oh, there's just so much that I could say about it. I honestly find it so interesting. I mean, it's true you say that they, you know, they only won the gold medal and the semi-final at the Commonwealth Games by one goal. But then New Zealand only won by one goal in their semi-final. Was it one or two? No, it's two goals in their semi-final against us, and one goal in its final in against Australia. But that's, I mean, true. Top three teams, the gold, silver and bronze medalists, all lost one game. It was just the fact that New Zealand lost, you know, they made sure they didn't lose the game that mattered, whereas the other teams just couldn't help it because New Zealand was so dominant. But no, you're totally right. This World Cup has been amazing, and it was so good that Sky Sports, who have been promoting and showing the sport for quite a while now, decided to put it on YouTube. And I know a lot of people, you know, in Australia, a lot of fans over there were complaining about the commentary because, I mean, they're used to the Queen, Sue Gordian, who is obviously amazing. You know, the fact, I guess, when do we get to a point when we're not just grateful that it's being aired? That will be interesting. But I was just grateful that I could just come home and it would be on YouTube and I could watch stuff, or, as you said, sneakily go off and take a lunch break at 3:30 p.m. which is obviously very odd, but just to make sure I could watch the England game. But yeah, it was just so good, and I think that it's really promising, and I hope that it doesn't die down, to be honest with you, because obviously the next World Cup is in South Africa. England netball haven't got a big tournament coming up for a long time. I think the next thing is probably going to be the Quad Series at the end of this year, unless they announce another international series before then. The players definitely need a break, but you know, there's nothing big in the lineup. Once we won gold at the Commonwealth Games, everyone was like, oh, and they have a home World Cup, and now it's like there's nothing really. So I just hope it doesn't die down. I hope the media still stay on board despite the fact that it was bronze and not gold. So yeah, we'll see. It'll be very, very interesting.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom.
That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
Thanks, Nat and Sasha. It's a netball show with Mizuno. Bit more reflection now on the tournament from Chloe and I. Chloe, that Netball World Cup, lots of different options for player of the tournament. I mean, we saw Carla get it from South Africa. I'd have personally gone for Laura Langham. I mean, Gretel was amazing for the Diamonds. Rachel Dunn as well. I could go on. What do you think?
So player of the tournament is definitely a tough one to pick. I think my standout player would have to be Felicitas Kwangwa from Zimbabwe, who played at goal defence. She was absolutely phenomenal in her World Cup debut and really lifted Zimbabwe to some of their really big wins. But my player of the tournament would have to go really to Jane Watson of New Zealand. It was her first ever World Cup as well. She was one of five selected for the Kiwis, who were new. But that performance in the England game semi-final, she was the reason that the Roses really couldn't ever get a start off. She was an impenetrable wall in that D. And then to come out again in the final and really make some game-changing moments, that for me has to make you the player of the tournament, because when it counts, you deliver.
What did you make of New Zealand winning?
I think for me, New Zealand really deserve to win the tournament. When you look back at their journey, starting at the Commonwealth Games where they failed to make a medal, you look at the Quad Series and how they struggled really with South Africa and then England and then really Australia as well. That in 11 months for Nolene Tarua to turn that side around to then go out and win convincingly the Netball World Cup, I think is incredible. I think it is really down to her, Tarua. For me, I knew that New Zealand were here to be serious when we saw them play that final group match against Australia where they lost by one. And Tarua made the right calls at the right moment with her players. She was so unafraid to sub. She knew who to... She bought off Ekenazio and said to her, watch the game, look at this. Brought her back on and it made such a difference. She was subbing someone 2 minutes before the end of the game and they immediately came on and made an interception. That is someone that knows their team. And a coach with that level of confidence in her player, you know, is serious. And then I think when we saw them against England, Tarua again, I have to credit her with that, with completely reading how Harton and Housby had been working together and completely working to unpick that. It was a veritable wall in that New Zealand defence. Like, we couldn't penetrate it and the Roses were left, you know, catching up the whole way through. And I think that is a side that is crafty, that have worked out, done their homework in a tournament where there doesn't even seem to be time to do that. And then they just, at moments, made Australia look very average. You have Folau and Ekenazio shooting in long bombs. The answers were always there. The defence just didn't seem to be, like, working on it. And then the Kiwis, with their zonal defence, had been so effective all tournament, just completely, like, throwing all the teams. It's the classic Kiwi defence that we had been missing and it had been brought back. So, for me, after that England game, I just thought, actually, you know what? Australia, watch out. You're definitely not going to be winning this World Cup.
It was Scotland and Northern Ireland's tournament too. Emma Barry was absolutely amazing for Thistles. Caroline O'Hanlon was something else as well. So even though they didn't finish in the top eight, it was still a decent tournament for them?
That, I think, would have been perhaps not what both teams were looking for coming into the tournament. I know that both teams were keen for a top eight, but we just didn't see, I mean, no one really saw Zimbabwe coming in and tearing up that top 10 order just in the way that they had. But I think it would be easy to just sort of say, well, you know, that's not the best outcome. They disappointed the expectations. Because actually, you look at Scotland, that's such a young side and it's full of potential. And Emma Barry, 17 years old, coming out, flawlessly shooting. I think for me, the marker of Scotland was really that game against England, where they really showed that they can stand up to a side where you've got seven players in the squad, six only playing, obviously, because Guscith was injured. But you've got six world-class players in there, and Scotland really fought and fought and fought for that ball and made things difficult. And that's a side with so much potential. So I'm really, really excited to see where Scotland go. I think the decision for the Strathclyde Sirens to just make it kind of a World Cup camp was a really clever one. I think Nelson was right there to make that call. Northern Ireland, I mean, bless them. I think they really, the shooting stats were what let them down. They had an excellent, the midcourt was amazing. We know it's amazing. We've got Super League. We've got Drain in there, O'Hanlon and Toner, who also hopped into goal defence. I think they were there. They just had a great, you know, you could see the cohesion. It worked really well, but I think it was just shooting. And if you look at, if you are going to compare its side like Northern Ireland to someone like Zimbabwe, who they are technically now in the rankings going to be, you know, next to, the difference really is just shooting. Like, Zimbabwe rarely ever miss. And that is so important in a game of netball. You have to be able to put the shots up. And I think is the only area where Northern Ireland, it's just stopping them from breaking into that top eight. I think that, for me, is the case. But it was fantastic to see the talent that's coming through. And a big shout out to O'Hanlon. What an athlete she is. You can see the difference that she makes when she's off court, having been injured, you know, rolled her ankle in slow-mo, which was so gnarly to see. And then also to have been completely wiped out by Jamie Lee Price in quite a dangerous moment. Really, the only dangerous moment we saw, I think, in the tournament. But it was pretty nasty to see. So I hope she comes back and plays. I want to see her again at a World Cup. Big love for Caroline Helen and big love for the home nations. I think they did us proud.
And the strength of the African nations as well, getting bigger and bigger. And that's going to set things up really nicely for 2020.
Wow, what can I say about the African nations at this World Cup? I think for me, they've been my highlight. Malawi, Uganda, South Africa, Zimbabwe have really put on an epic display of netball. We knew that Malawi, Uganda, South Africa were going to do bits. Malawi maybe not so much, given that their best shooter that isn't Joyce Mavula, who plays out in Australia, has been injured all year. But we knew they were going to be good. But Zimbabwe, we did not see coming. And that's, you know, World Cup debutants. You can't know that till you see them. But they came out with all the confidence, all the belief. It was inspiring. It was inspiring to watch. To push Australia to the third quarter score of 15-13 is no small feat. And it's something I was screaming it from the rooftops, because this is significant. It's significant. This is a side that has the legs, that has this amazing style, that it's unique and it's unconventional, but it's not unorthodox. It's just different. And I think that to see that, and then to see the energy the fans brought, was really just a tournament highlight. And I think going forwards, we have to stop seeing Africa as a developing region of netball, because it's not. It's not anymore. Look at that top eight finish. We've got four teams in the top eight. That's not what you call developing. That is now a region of netball that needs sponsorship, it needs funding, it needs broadcasting, it needs the next stage, it needs the next level. And it will be up to the INF, it will be up to the African nations themselves to spot that potential. But we need to be pushing it, and you just love to see it, because what a tournament. It really, to me, it's a tournament that belonged to them. They're the real story that came out of it.
England finishing third. I suppose in a way the impact will be bigger than getting the medal and just getting people involved.
Obviously, it would have been lovely to have seen the Roses make the final. And they got a bronze, and I think a bronze is incredibly well deserved. They were certainly in the top three teams there. Jamaica were definitely not in with a shout this year, and we showed twice with the Roses that South Africa are not a team that are challenging them anymore. So a bronze is a fair reflection of definitely of the way the Roses went into the tournament and matches that they played. I think if you look back at the Commonwealth Games gold, that moment arrived a bit early. I think actually, if you look at the Roses programme, they'd been building to getting into this final and winning gold in Liverpool, and the Commonwealth Games gold was a bit of a bonus. But I think we've seen a squad that work well together, that we've got some world-class players in there. Serena Guthrie has to just, I mean, up there with Laura Langman for best centre in the world. They really neutralised each other. I think the thing with England going forward is how they build on the squad. We don't know who's retiring, but there are a fair few old girls in there. And it will be a big question going into 2021, defending that gold. But I'm not disappointed in bronze. I don't think anyone else is really disappointed in a bronze. It would just, you know, New Zealand really did just outplay us, and that's the nature of the game sometimes.
Cheers, Chloe. We're still online as we build up to this year's Fast Five tournament. We've already seen the news that Ebony is committed to Team Bath for 2020, the first of many. Stay with us online at thenetballshow.co.uk and follow us on Twitter as those teams for the new season are revealed.
I can't put into words still how special it feels. It's such an honour to be asked to lead your country.
Sevens means so much to me. It's more than just wearing the dress. It's about hopefully inspiring the next generation.
Welsh netball is in a really strong position at the moment. We're growing and we're looking forward to the upcoming season.
What do you remember most about that first cap?
The first cap, God, very little. That's a long time ago, very little.
Thanks so much for everybody's support, and especially those at the Netball Show, because I know you've supported us for a long, long time.
The Netball Show with Sasha Shipley and Natalie Morris.